Well, this morning, the Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, will deliver a national apology to the victims of forced adoption. People from around the country have arrived in Canberra to hear the apology, which is the result of a Senate inquiry into policies implemented between the 1950s and the 1970s, which this Senate inquiry found evidence of unethical and illegal forced adoptions. And over those years, in fact, it's estimated that 150,000 Australian mothers and their babies were removed, that the babies were removed by their mothers by churches and government adoption agencies. Today, the Prime Minister will also promise extra funding for support services and mental health care for those whose lives have been affected by these policies. When the Senate inquiry reported last March, we heard the story here on Breakfast of Melbourne woman Clemencia Barnes. Her son, Andre, was born in 1968. As a young mother, she was pressured by the Catholic Services Welfare Bureau to give him up for adoption.
The pressure there was enormous for me to relinquish, simply because I was compared with a couple who would both be able to look after my child emotionally. And the pressure of that is not hard for someone like myself, and I think many thousands of other women, to say, well, yes, I can't give this child, my child, what they are saying they can give them. And there's a real sadness in that. I was an emotional mess for a long time afterwards. I walked out of the hospital 2 days after I had Andre, only because I'd turned 21 and I was allowed to sign myself out. And from there on, I took two jobs just to keep myself busy. Absolute mess.
Clemencia, you told us you've discharged yourself after 2 days. You thought that Andre, your baby, was happily with his adoptive parents.
Yes.
That's what you thought. And you took that knowledge, I suppose, away to some degree, making you feel a little bit better about things. But what happened next?
Well, I got a letter in the mail from the Broadmeadows Children's Home, which is where he had gone. This was 2.5 months after I had relinquished him. The letter asked me to please provide some financial support for Andre, because he hadn't been eligible for adoption due to a disability. And I just was floored, absolutely floored. The thing I did was I went straight there to pick him up, and then the nun there said, oh, you're getting married, are you, dear? And I said, no, but he's coming home with me anyway. And I was petrified for months later that because I had signed the adoption paper, that they could come and get him back.
Did you experience any resistance at that point to you taking him then?
Oh, yes. Well, she was not happy about it, but there was nothing she could do. I had a friend of mine with me who was a lawyer, thank God, and basically they just let me take him out, because I think she talked to them. I don't know, I can't remember any of that. I can just remember having him in my arms and thinking, oh, this is so wonderful.
Clemencia Barnes speaking to us 1 year ago here on RN Breakfast. Clemencia, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you, Fran. Is it really a year?
It's a year. It's a year since you shared your story with us, and then you told us that was the first time you'd actually told your son, Andre, the full story of his birth. 12 months on, Clemencia, what are your feelings today, and how's that all gone with you and Andre?
Look, it was a wonderful opportunity to open the story completely, and not one I would have taken, I don't think, unless you had your program on. So for you, a big thank you from both of us. And in a sense, I think it's made him much more clear about, you know, I think the difficulty I had in having him and what happened and why it happened. And he's a very gentle, caring young man, so it worked out really well for me.
Now, I understand you won't be in Canberra this morning for the national apology, but what does it mean for you? Is it important for you that the Prime Minister delivers this apology today?
I think it's important for a lot of people. Just an acknowledgement that it was really, the way women were treated was really less than kind, is the only way I can put it. And the way I think it was executed, that you had just gone through a birth and your child was literally just taken, and there was no attempt, or there was active encouragement for you not to see the child at all, and that was pretty well forbidden in my time, and we're talking 1968, so it was a cruelty with which it was done, I think. And I don't think they meant to be cruel, but they certainly didn't try to be kind either.
So just to stay with that moment all those years ago now for you, because, you know, you signed the relinquishing papers under pressure, family pressure and society pressure, but that was the issue, that you knew you were going to give up your baby, but they didn't even let you see your baby or hold your baby. Is that the point?
That's the point, that there was a total prohibition on the mother having anything to do with seeing the child at all or holding the child. And I think I mentioned on the program last time that one of the nurses had given Andre to me, and the matron came in and just really almost yelled, what's that woman doing with that child? And took him away then.
As we just heard, Clemencia, a year ago you described yourself as an emotional mess for a long time afterwards. When the Prime Minister stands to deliver this national apology today, she'll also promise some more funding, new funding for support services for women to help trace, for all involved, to help trace birth records, and also money for mental health services, that kind of support. Is that important or useful for someone like you? Or Andre?
Look, I think for me, it's slightly different. I've done a lot of work over a long period of time, simply because that's part of the profession I'm in. But I think for a lot of women, it's going to be wonderful that this is actually being able to be given to them.
Yeah, and Andre, your son, I know you've talked about it. We've said that since in this year. How has it brought you closer?
Oh, I think we were always very close, to be honest. But I think for him, it has made a big difference, because really, rather, you know, in a sense, the whole story is being told, and he's able to fit in. I think a bit more understanding of some of my extreme behaviour at different times when he was younger. Because it's not easy being a single mother, I have to tell you.
No, it's not easy. Clemencia, thank you very much for joining us and telling us the story again. Stay on the line if you like. We're going to bring in Brenda Coughlin now from the Independent Regional Mothers Group, which is a group of women from regional Victoria affected by forced adoptions. Many of them will be in Canberra to witness the Prime Ministerial apology today. Brenda, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Brenda, what does today mean for you?
What does today mean for you? It's a long time coming. It's just having it been acknowledged, it happened. It's not sorry, it's just having it been acknowledged, and it's been 50 years coming, the long time.
Well, the PM, in fact, I think will say sorry today, but just do you mind, Brenda, sharing your story with us? What happened when you gave birth as, I think, a 17-year-old back in 1963?
Yes, it was during the pregnancy. You were very badly treated. You were really criminally abused, because in Victoria, because Victoria was the heartland of medical research, you became part of that cure for infertility. So we weren't even told we were carrying babies. They were called lumps, and they believed that they were above the law. So it was very cruel during the pregnancy. During the labour, you were tied down in shackles, you had pillows, you never seen your baby, you were drugged, and I didn't see her for 28 years.
And so you lost your baby immediately, you didn't have any time with her?
No, it lost her during the birthing process.
And then you saw her 28 years later, and how did that go when you met your daughter 28 years later?
It was like time stood still. It was like time stood still, and that motherly instinct, I suppose, kicked in, because as she walked up to me, I just put my arms around her. The first thing she said to me was, "Did you want to give me up?" And I said, "Never, never, never." And that was our first exchange.
And I mean, I don't want to pry into the relationship you have your daughter now, but I think it's important to remember that this is a national apology to all those affected, and the children are affected too. I mean, she lost her mother at that point, and I'm sure she forged a relationship with her adoptive parents. But, you know, has it had an impact on her life to a large degree?
I would say no. She has been brought up by some very good people. We don't see each other. But I think it's had a bigger impact on my other children. It's also had a bigger impact on my grandchildren. as my granddaughter sums it up, she says, "Nana, I see your pain, I see Mum's pain, but it also affects our generation because we will always have an empty chair at our family table."
Mm. Generational pain, and perhaps more painful and more difficult to understand and to rationalise because you, in fact, married the father of your daughter.
Right.
You had two more daughters together.
Yes.
So your daughter, who was taken from you, has two siblings out there, four siblings, not even half siblings, and
That's
a mother
right.
and a father.
That's right.
A birth mother and a father.
I think that had a very big bearing on my other two daughters, and I think it had a big bearing on her as well, because the other two didn't know and she didn't know. And so it becomes even bigger, the grief and the trauma. There's so much grief and trauma around it. And then it continues. It just continues on. I see it in my granddaughter's eyes. And then I see it just continues. It just does not go away.
And Clemente, are you still with us?
I am indeed, yes.
Just on that point, I know you say you and Andre have, you know, it's been useful for you to have this discussion over the past 12 months and he's understood some of your sadness and difficulties over the time. But what about with the rest of your family too? I mean, how, Brenda, they're talking about the sort of the generational hurt and sadness. Did this have ripples backwards within your family?
My family was not supportive and didn't know Andre was alive until he was nearly a year old, so I was on my own. But one of the things that has seldom, I think, ever been raised in this story of all these women is the absence of any accountability required, either from the legal people, of the ever-absent fathers. And I wonder to what extent there are men out there who never get to tell anything. And I'm not, you know, not all men are bad. And I wonder why we never raise the issue of what happened to those men and what's going on for them. And I'm not undermining the pain of women, because I wouldn't do that. But I think we have missed something as well. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes sense, Brenda. It's not necessarily in your case, but it is another point too, isn't it? This money for the services, for the mental health services and other support services and people to trace birth records. I mean, there are presumably many, many, many men out there too who father children who don't know where they are, who have unresolved issues.
I agree with that. And also, I still believe there has got to be accountability. I still believe that the medical profession have got to be accountable. We as independent regional mothers have been pushing for the Queen Victoria Hospital to apologise. I just received an SMS to say it's in the Herald Sun today. The Queen Victoria Hospital in Melbourne are apologising today. Now, apologising is not enough. It's to be accountable. They've got to say what they did. And what they did. They've got to just spell it out, what they did.
So in a sense, you want them to open the books, don't you?
Yes. Well, I'm a researcher and I've been doing it for 30 plus years. I've got government documents. There is no doubt about what happened. But I had independent regional mothers have had communications with the National AMA and Victoria AMA, but we can't break that barrier. AMA Victoria said they've discussed it at board level, and I have a letter that says they're not prepared to make a public statement. I think the medical profession must come out and make a statement.
All right, so the hospital apology is a start, but not enough for you. Clemencia, just on that point, and you raised the issue of accountability by those involved, the Prime Minister will apologise on behalf of the nation and, in a sense, on behalf of the agencies, I suppose, that operated with these policies. Are you heartened that the hospital will apologise today? Do you want more of this?
Look, I'm slightly on a different page. I have moved on, and I think the important thing for me is there is a karmic law and we do need this forgiveness as part of this process.
Yes.
Otherwise it will go on permanently and our children will suffer. I think we need some sort of act of forgiveness of the people who did this. That would make much more sense to me.
Clemencia Barnes and Brenda Coughlin, thank you very much for joining us for breakfast, and good luck today. I hope it's all you need it to be.
And thank you very much. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. And that's Clemencia Barnes and Brenda Coughlin, both of whom relinquished children back in the 1960s. And at that time, you can hear how that was treated. It was a cold and brutal and cruel process, really, at the time. Women not allowed to hold their babies, see their babies in some cases, know anything about them. And the ongoing pain and hurt that breeds. And just a note here, ABC Open has been collecting stories from some of the people who've been affected by those policies. Their project is called Separated. It features first-person accounts of removal, puts a human face to the Prime Minister's apology, which come today. If you want to have a listen, have a look, to find it, you go to abc.net.au/open, and you'll see the link at the top of the page to the features called Separated.